He didn't start heading down the road and say, whoops, well, you're right, I guess I missed my dad. You know, I thought he was going to heal her, but now she's dead. Oh, well, I guess there's nothing we can do but go through her pockets and look for loose change. It's from the Princess Bride. Nothing we can do. Yeah, she was. She's dead. Jesus had already started. He never missed the Father's voice. He went because he knew this was what the Father had planned. He went because he knew this was God's will. He was going because he was confident in what God had sent him to do, and that what God had begun, God was also going to see through to completion. Jesus was the model of complete and utter faith and dependence upon his Father. So when you hear the voice of God in your spirit telling you what God is about to do, and then you see in your external circumstances confirmation that that is what God is in fact doing, don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. But don't be surprised if suddenly Satan tries to tell you otherwise by the voices of those who don't believe or who will not believe. Listen to God first. When God speaks first, lay hold of that thing and hold fast to that thing and fight for that thing and fight against every voice of unbelief that the enemy raises up in opposition to you. When you know in your spirit, I'm not talking about when you're fasting and praying and trying to determine the will of God and find out what his plan is. When you know in your spirit, you have heard in your spirit that still small voice telling you this is what God is doing, and you begin to see him unfold that in your life, and those circumstances are all leading in that direction. Lay a hold of that thing, because sure as I'm here, the enemy is going to try to raise up doubt. He's going to try to raise up voices of disbelief that says, God's not doing that. God can't do that. He won't do that. That's not for you. That's not for today. There are too many problems. Here's this obstacle. Here's that obstacle. Here's one reason why it shouldn't work. Here's another reason why it shouldn't work. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Somebody say, fight it. Fight it. That's right. Say it like you mean it. Fight it! Fight those voices, because as sure as I am standing here, you are going to run into that. If you are following Christ and pursuing him with every passion of your heart, laying a hold of the things that he has for you and advancing the kingdom of God and setting people free and defeating the powers of darkness, as you walk in that walk and you go forth to do those things, you are going to run into opposition. You're going to run into fear. You're going to run into dead religion. You're going to run into the voices of unbelief that will try to tell you that, no, you really didn't hear from God. Fight those things with everything inside of you. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called. Praise God. Mark 5:37. And he permitted no one to follow. First he told the ruler, don't be afraid. Then verse 37, he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And in verse 40, what did they do? Say it loud. Thank you. I'm 52, man. I just can't hear like I did before rock and roll. Yeah. They ridiculed him. He comes in. He pushes the crowd away. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. He and the ruler of the synagogue, the dad, go down the road. They come to the house. They go in. These people are wailing and weeping and moaning and carrying on. There's all kinds of confusion and mess and noise and commotion and chaos. And he says to them, why are you making this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead. She's only sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They ridiculed Jesus. Do you grasp the import of that? They ridiculed Jesus, the Lord of Lords. That's blasphemous. So here they are. The family is there. The friends are there. The professional mourners are there. Did you know they used to hire people to mourn back in those days when someone would die? They'd have that. You'd call the funeral home to arrange it, and they'd send a bunch of people dressed in black to go and cry over the body. Literally, they paid them to go cry over the body. They'd be sitting there, this is terrible. He was such a good person. What a horrible tragedy. This is a terrible thing. You know, and then charge you $50 to do it. Yeah, I mean, what a sideline. And he walks into the midst of this thing and all this nonsense is going on. I mean, in addition to the grief and the pain, the noise and the confusion, the wailing and the moaning and the weeping and all the emotion, and Jesus walks in and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's not dead. She's only asleep. And you can just hear. I mean, I can almost just literally hear these voices in opposition, highly offended, highly indignant. How dare you say that? Who do you think you are coming in here in a time of pain and deep loss and deep sorrow? Who do you think you are coming here and make a thoughtless, hurtful, cruel statement like that? She's not dead, she's only asleep. What kind of monster are you? How dare you come and hurt this family and say such stupid things at a time of great loss? They ridiculed him. They were offended. They were angry. Sitting there saying, I can't believe you just said that. And that was their problem. They couldn't believe it. Voices of unbelief. It wasn't simply a case of them agreeing to disagree. It wasn't like they're saying, well, Jesus, you know, I'm glad your faith is strong. I'm just really not at that level yet, you know. You know, maybe I'll just stand here and you just have faith for me. They attacked him. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. They said hurtful, mean, offensive things to him because they were highly indignant and offended. So Jesus did the only thing he could do. He threw him out. He said, that's it. Enough. Leave. Now. And fortunately for Jesus, he had some resources with him. He had the dad, the ruler of the synagogue, nonetheless, with him. And he put him out. And I'm sure as they went by, you know, just giving him the look, you know, that up and down thing. Yeah, right. We'll talk later, buddy. Take my $50 from me, man. I was moaning over there, boy. I was doing me some mourning. Put him out. And then him and James and John and Peter go in. Sometimes you not only have to fight the voices of fear and fight the voices of religion, dead religion, and fight the voices of unbelief, sometimes you have to fight the voice of persecution. Because when you fight against the voice of fear and the voice of religion and the voice of unbelief, people are not going to always like it. And you will not always be applauded for that. And you might have to fight the voices of persecution to lay hold of eternal life. The voice of unbelief will try to discourage you from God's promises. Oh, God's not going to do anything. You're just getting your hopes up. You're just setting yourself up for failure. But the voice of persecution will try to intimidate you with fear to keep you from God's promises. It will even flat out try to stop you from laying a hold of the promises of God. Sometimes all you can do is take up the whole armor of God and stand your ground. Just stand in the Lord. Stand on His promises. Put up the shield of faith and let the arrows fly. Praise God. Mark chapter 5, verse 40. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and he said that something should be given to her to eat. So this isn't just about religious viewpoints. Well, this is my opinion, this is your opinion, everybody's got an opinion, I prefer this, you prefer the other thing. Lives are hanging in the balance. Life and death hinges on these issues. Souls hang in the balance. The very life of a little girl was on the block over how this thing turned out. The stakes are high, and it is critical that we make up our mind. Are we going to lay a hold of life and fight the good fight of faith, or are we going to shrink back with unbelief and doubt and fear and dead religion? Because the stakes are high, and God has called us and empowered us and commissioned us to go out and advance His kingdom with the power that He's empowered us with. Sounds like somebody got healed. Man, what? That's what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for the stuff so that when it happens, all of a sudden there's a different kind of commotion. And people are in awe. And what did it say here? They were overcome with great amazement. That's my hope. That's my vision. That's my heart's desire. That's what I'm pursuing with everything in me. That when God comes and moves in power, people will be astounded and overcome with great amazement. And you know what? Believers are doing it around us. We're not even on the cutting edge. I'm saying, man, let's join the party. Let's turn this little ripple into a tidal wave until revival sweeps from coast to coast in this nation, and we turn this thing around from the ground up. By the power of God, by the power of His Word, and the faith of His people, and the guts that it takes to simply fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. The stakes are high, but the rewards are even higher. Even if we get hammered, even if we're down on the ground, bobbing and weaving while on our back, bleeding, and the devil is raining down persecution, fear, unbelief, and every trick he has in his bag, if we will have the presence of mind to say, no, wait a minute, God didn't send me to defeat. He calls me to victory. I'm more than a conqueror through all of these things. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life and watch God turn it around in the second round. Let the enemy spend his resources, man, because when he's out of gas, we're coming back in resurrection power and we're going to win this battle. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen.